गणानां त्वा गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन्नुतिभिः सेदसादनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करभावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः। Let's take a few minutes. Meditate quietly. We'll do in each class for a little bit, small meditation in the beginning on some of the connotations of the first verse, the key verse of this Upanishad. Isha vasamidam sarvam yatkincha jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bhunjitaha magrida kasya swiddhanam. So sit comfortably, close the eyes. Take a few deep breaths, centering yourself. Centering your attention, the breath, to help to gather the rays of the mind, be more present. So in Nididhyasanam, Vedantic meditation, and we take what we've studied, what we've looked into, and we sit with it as it is. And it's kind of like you know the path to climb up to the top of the hill of, let's say, Mission Peak. You're not sure which is which way, but then you turn, you see the map, you go up. Now you look at the view as it is. Not a question, am I on top of the right hill or not? You look from there. So it's not mananam where I'm churning, clarifying my doubts. What I understood, I'm looking from there, what I've learned. From that angle of vision. So Ishavasam Idam Sarvam, one thing is permeating in and through everything, one presence. There's one unity, as Swami Shivananda says, unity in diversity. So of course, from different angles we'll be able to see this. Because we're looking from the diverse place, like looking at the Mission Peak from different angles. The Mission Peak is just one. Just as when you take the rope and the snake, there isn't a rope and a snake. Every point in the snake, right? Every little part of the snake is the rope, is permeated by the one rope. Again, you don't have two things, you have only rope, and the rope is in and through the snake, not just in one part of it or the other. And then if we take a closer example to my life experience, I look at my dream world. Now, if I'm dreaming, I am there, the individual. There's a world around me. And in the world, there are multiple things. Humans, other living beings, animals, there would be inanimate objects, etc. Duality starts with me and the world, and then it starts growing from there. Now, when I wake up and I analyze the dream, it was I who was permeating every part of the dream. You can't say I was there and that other person was there. That other person is somebody else, not me. No. When you wake up, you know I was permeating that person completely. I was permeating the whole world of the dream completely. It was only me. The whole thing was projected on the screen of my awareness. Seems like many, but in reality, one. So one presence, one consciousness in and through the whole dream, which is me. And then the dream itself, what is it? But a series of experiences. True, they're projected from my mind, but they are experiences. Every experience you can take from the dream is but permeated by the awareness, consciousness, which is me. Every single experience there. So myself, the awareful being, am the base in and through each experience as the water is in each wave. Similarly, now I look at my waking state. Think of all of your past. What is my past? Series of memories. So, as I bring to my mind, it's a memory of some experience. So, when I bring it to mind, then just like the dream, based on my being a conscious being, my awareness is in and through every memory, every experience of the past. I look to the future. The future, again, can only be in my mind. So to look at it, there's some mental idea. The base of it, substratum, adhishtanam, is my being a conscious being, the awareness. So my whole past, my whole future, projections on the one consciousness which I am. Which only leaves one point in time, this present moment. And this present moment, what is it? Also but an experience. It's an experience projected on the consciousness which I am. Because the consciousness which I am permeates in and through every part of the experience. Just like it does in the dream, just like the water permeating the wave. In this way, I can see this whole Ishavasyam. Idam sarvam, this whole creation as a series of experiences, many waves, one water in and through all the waves, one consciousness which I am in and through every experience. The waves come and go, the same water is there throughout. And experiences come and go, I, the awareful being, am there throughout. The substance of the ocean, H2O, remains the same substance. I, the awareful being, always remain the same thing. Same awareful being. Shanti, shanti, shanti. Let's chant our first verse that we've been studying, quarter by quarter, part by part. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. Yat kincha jagat yam jagat. Tena tyaktena bhunjithaha. Magridah kasya svidhanam. So we went over in quite detail this first verse, and again the whole Upanishadic teachings given in very terse form in this one verse. So to go over in detail, you have all the Upanishadic literature, and actually the Ishavasya is a very short Upanishad, as we probably mentioned in the introduction, but Hadaranyaka is the one that's expanding a lot more. So the shortest one, or one of the shortest ones, not shorter, one of the shorter Upanishads, and then very vast, probably longest one, is, you know, gives it in more, you know, detailed form. One day that could be studied. One time, this one Swamiji, he's just passed very recently, so, Swami Pratyagatmanandaji from Swami Dayananda's disciple. He was here only one time since I've been studying in Arshavidya, studying Vedanta there. So he came for a week, so like something like 4 or 5 days in the mornings he was giving a talk. He took one verse, fairly long verse, but one from Brihadaranyaka. Whole time we just discussed that one verse. Then after 1 week that he did this, he said, okay, so we're finished. We did the short version. Back in the ashram, we'll do this for a month. Because the thing is, it's to go more and more into the subtle understanding. That's why this thing is studied regularly for extended period. It's not something just, okay, I study this one, I finish, put aside, what's next? That's in life, we're doing that, what's next? But here, what's there we want to look at. So it takes quite a lot to look at what's there because we're used to looking at what's next. So in any case, last week we discussed the second part of this verse, Tiena Chaktena Bunjitaha, by this vision. This vision is a renunciation. Because renouncing, you let go of one thing. To let go of one thing, you have to hold on to something else. You can't not hold on to anything. You know, if I have something in my hand, I can just let go of it, not a problem, like this. Try to do that in the mind, right? I'm holding on to some idea in my mind. You know, I'm worried about the pandemic, or I'm worried about political situation or something like this. I'm worried about problem with my child, problem with parents, something. Now just let go of it. You can't just let go of it. The way you let go, you have to hold on to something else. That's one of the reasons the whole bhakti marga, the whole path of devotion, is learn how to not just hold on to these worldly things I'm holding on to. Hold on to some idea, something higher. Pull yourself up by this. Hold on to, so it helps to pull us out of it. So I have to hold on to something else in order to let go in the mind. It's possible just to let go in the mind, but it takes a lot of training and not easy. And so this is an easier and more effective way. We have to. So here he's saying, this way, see the one presence in everything. Like right now, this was an example how it's done and how this is studied. Hold on to that. And that helps slowly to let go of the other ideas I have on myself, like this. Because also a knowledge of something, how do I let go of one knowledge by something else? Understanding it more. The more I understand, the more my previous knowledge goes away, like this, drops away. A friend of mine that also goes to Vedanta class where I am gave a very interesting example of this from his life. Is he said he had a discussion with some friend of his, and this friend is a Trump supporter. So he said by discussing and hearing the other viewpoint, a lot of the preconceived ideas about this goes away, and then it's not, you know, okay, somebody has some other ideas for their whatever valid or invalid reasons, and then understand the other person's way of thinking. And so it's very much changes your view. Yeah, somebody has a different view of things, and they have their reasoning, and I have my reasoning, and some of their reasoning is sound to me, some not, and that's it. Then it's not, so it makes it very, very different like this. So here, okay, so we're still seeing the same world, but look at it differently, like from this angle, that the base is not, we think the base is being material. Here the base, it says, no, the base is consciousness, and that consciousness is one limited thing. It's not that I'm a limited thing, like this. So it's saying by this, that, and that's how to protect yourself from all the other stuff, is by strengthening this vision. Because this one is helping to protect from the other stuff. Anything else pretty much is built on the ground of the world being multiplicity. So it's still being caught in the same thing, same fallibility. So the more, that's again why we look at this, the teachings of the Upanishads, and we study them more and more to have that more clear, more established in the mind. Then it counters the other ideas. They won't be as strong. They won't be able to catch me as much like this because that one is stronger. So this is how to protect from these other ideas that are pulling me elsewhere like this. One point that's given about this also, in order to let go of something, there has to be something else you're going after. It's very hard not to do it like this. You'll tell somebody, this isn't a good thing to do. Somebody maybe is very poor, they have to feed their family, and they don't find another way, so they steal. Unless you have some other solution for them, then how are they going to do something else? So something else needed. So to have the vairagya like this, something else needed. This is probably actually one interesting point, is there's something that they talk about here in the West about midlife crisis, right? Midlife crisis, some point, okay, kids are grown up in this, and I've been working so many years, and okay, I'll work a few more years, and then what? So what is my point here? Where am I going to get to? And people get depressed, which is a valid thing, because okay, start you seeing what is my life good for, you know? And so what happens is, to get out of this, it's replaced by something else. One way, which is done a lot of the time, is get more excited about things. Okay, I look forward, I'll do this, I can do these many things, I can travel more. Positive thinking, which is a very good thing because it pulls you out of the depressive feeling in the mind. So you find some other thing to do. You know, some people will get more the kama related. I'm going to go and enjoy more my life in one way or the other. So that's fine. Some might be, a lot of people get out of it through dharma, right? Now, a lot of people, they get a little older. And so now, let me give back. Let me now do some service like this, which is also a very good thing. But then, Vedanta says that's very good. The dharmic way, of course, even better. You'll, but then even more so, vairagya, yes, don't fight with that. Look into it. Yes, as an individual, this, it will just come and go. Yes. Me as an individual be like a wave, came, disappeared, and that's it. It'll be gone. Yes. But what is it behind this? All the actions I'll do just come and go. What else is there? I have to look into and not just leave it at that. Yes, this individual, because that is what the individual is in the end. Actually, if you really look into it, what is the individual? It's an idea. And so the idea, the kind of like the bubble is gets a little bit, you can see through it a little bit. You see through the bubble a little bit, so depressed, this bubble is not going to last. Okay, so really look through it. Vedanta says, yes, use the vairagya, and you need viveka as well. Just vairagya on its own, no viveka, can be depressed. Some viveka needed, then you really want to look through. What's through there? So this is how... So have to have some idea in order to let go of other ideas. It's not possible otherwise. It's not going to work. So like this. And then he also said after that, Magridaha, kasya swit dhanam, and don't hold on to anything, don't covet anybody's wealth. And as we said, of course, first of all, being content what I have. Then not just being holding on to everything that I have, because what I have is going to be there for some time anyway. And especially when you look at the other way the verse is interpreted, don't covet, because whose wealth is this? Who owns this? What do you really own, right? You have on your paper that you own this. The paper that you own the house, right? But if you lost your job and you couldn't pay that payment for a few months, then whose house is it going to be? It'll belong to Wells Fargo or Bank of America, somebody like this, right? Mm-hmm. And so whose is this, right? The sun says, I'm hungry, I'm going to expand a little, I feel like eating a few planets for breakfast. And you're going to say, no, stop. This is my house. I've paid my whole mortgage. I have the document, you're not allowed to touch it. Is the sun going to listen to you? So, in this way, whose is this? Everything, what is mine? You know, the wave thinks I'm so great. Look how much I have in this. Before you know, here, look, we have a Dhritarashtra right now. No, this is mine, right? In 2 months, that mine will be history. Try to hold on to, literally, it's our current president is the Duryodhana, and now he's acting like his father, like Dhritarashtra. I want to hold on. No, can't be. So, you can't hold on. What is mine? It's going to be. Before you know, time is going to take it away like this. So in this way. So this is what this first verse was discussing in detail. And then second verse, as we start now, this one is discussing then the second point. This is highest vision. We said highest rung. And I say, jumping 2 meters high, I'm not ready. It says, okay, what do you know, the athlete comes to train, okay, to do that feat. Okay, now I need to train. Now, what do I need to do if I'm not ready for that feat? What I need to do to train for it. That's what he's going to discuss here, or she, Shruti, is going to discuss here. So it says here, let's chant it again quarter by quarter. Kurvanneveha karmani jijivishe chatagum samaha evantvainanyathetosti nakarmalipyate nare. So this verse is saying like this, kurvan eva. I didn't break it down word by word when I put this together, but kurvan, doing, eva, only, so only doing. Iha means here in this world, in this life. Kurvan, doing, eva, only, iha. And what? Karmani, actions, karmas. And here it means not just any karmas, but this is the nimitta karmas. What is my doing my duty? That's really what he means here. Not just any doing my duty, or also doing in Veda, karma also means yajna, homa, means so the rituals. So meaning doing my duty and doing upasana, these two things. Duty, yeah, so like this. Jijivishet, desiring to live, like this. Like this, I desire to live. And shatam samaha, 100 years, like this. So doing, only doing actions, only doing dharmic actions. One should wish to live 100 years, meaning 100 years, full lifetime. That's what it means. Like, okay, 100, full, you know. You could say 95, right, 85, but a nice round number, full life. It's full life? Okay, 100, like this. You know, maybe in a generation I'll have to change it to 150, because 100 will be normal. But like this, good full life. Evam twayi, in this way for you, na anyata itaha asti, there is no other way. So meaning this is the only way for you, right? Our Sanskrit word, twayi, right? You know, twayi. Locative, right? Singular for tvam, for you. So, like this. But here it's really going to be more tubhyam, for you. But they, or tava, yours. But here they put it in the seventh, twayi. Nakarma lipyate nare. This person will not be touched, karma will not stick to that person. So the only way to do it without getting yourself stuck is to do this. That's the only way. I think we gave the example last week of the jackfruit for something, right? So this is also how you do the jackfruit action, the cutting the jackfruit action. That one I only know from story, because I've never, you know, I've eaten jackfruit, but I've never been, you know, never cut or this. I didn't have to go through that exercise myself, but I know it just is the story. I'm sure we can find other examples. I'll give you one nice example about not being touched like this, which again, you probably have seen in your life too. But I've heard so many examples are given about the lotus leaf, that not getting wet. So some years ago, something like 15 years, 10, 15 years back, my wife and I with our sister-in-law, we went to Kerala. We stayed at an Ayurvedic place there for 2 weeks. In Kortakal, very famous there, this place. So we stayed there, and then they had these, you know, ponzu with lotuses. So I was very curious. It's before the smartphones with all the videos. So I had a regular camera that can take a bit of video. So I saw how this works. I would, on the lotus leaf, I'd take water and I'd throw it on, and how it would just, you know, all either just go off the edge of it, or if the lotus leaf is sitting like this, it would kind of become a pearl, just sit in the middle like this. And that's it. Be totally dry, because it has that film on the end. Very interesting. So I had that camera, I filmed it, and I brought, wow, look at the show people, look at, they say about the lotus leaf, look at how it really happens. So this is the idea, not to get caught by it. Or the lotus also symbolizes in the murky, muddy water, the beautiful thing grows, You know, not touched, it stays beautiful regardless of the swampy environment around it. So this is how it's without being in the world, but not of the world. So what this verse is for, it says, okay, this Ishavasya is the highest vision. The highest vision, just see, there's the one, finished. And drop the other things, have that vision. Drop your artakama, because tena chaktena, drop desire, kara, right? Drop kama, and magridaha, don't hold on to things. No artha, only moksha. First one, ishavasa midam sarvam, only moksha. So if I'm unable to do this, just this, I want to prepare for it, then this one is discussing kind of how to do karma. Okay, dharma, how to take dharma to its furthest extent so it prepares like this. So this is how the preparation that's needed for it. So what happens when I do activities, there are different reasons, different motives for the activities, different types of karmas or actions. And going to those details will be more in the karmakanda. It doesn't go as much into detail here because that's earlier part. So in it, it's of course the first thing for any, not just spiritual aspirant, but pretty much, you know, just living in a civil society, we say is the nishiddha karma, the ones that are illegal or immoral. These are the first casualties if I want peace of mind of any kind, you know, because you know, if I do things that are not okay or this, my conscience will prick me and I'm afraid what other people will think, or if it's illegal, what will be with the law, etc., like this. So that's the first casualty that has to go. So that one, we say, and then one has to observe themselves and, you know, slowly, does not mean that I'm doing criminal activity of some sort, but I have to slowly drop these things because they're not going to be helped. Those are things that do pull the opposite direction, just hinder my growth, like this. There's a nice subhashita that says about when you have a clay ball that drops down, it hits the ground, and what happens, right? That's it. It just stays there. When you have, it didn't use the rubber. I'm not sure what material it said there, but a ball. I think it just said a lump of clay and then said a ball, because I'm not sure, you know, a few hundred years ago what the balls were made out of, but there still must have been balls that bounce a little bit for kids. That one, if you throw it, it bounces back very quickly. So it says in the same way, for somebody whose mind is more more worldly or more negative, if it falls down, meaning it gets entrapped in some negativity, stop, it gets stuck like that. But somebody who's thinking deeper or more pure mind, it'll bounce back. So if I slip down, pretty quickly I'll bounce back. I won't, you know, I'll learn from my mistake. You know, I'll brush it aside and I'll keep marching forwards like this. So in this way. So these things, not, this is the first one which even somebody not interested in Ishavasyam, just in living a simple content life, that has to be thrown aside. So that's first. Then next type of karma we have is kamya karma, right? Kamya karma, in order to fulfill some desire. And desire doesn't have to be any negative one or something. Positive and good things or good desires too, like this. So in Gita, right, Krishna mentions that he is desire according to dharma. That's his manifestation. And you can see it like this because that is upping the bar a little bit. Right, upping the bar. So it's kind of like the first one, nishiddha karma, you want to up the bar, it's totally being disqualified from the beginning, from competition finished, you're out. Like the athletes that are kicked out, somebody kicked out nowadays because taking drugs, right? Kicked out, like this. So in this way. Now, so what happens is kamya karma is fine, And here it's saying, okay, if you want to do kamya karma, there's nothing wrong with it. I want to have a bigger house, a nicer car, I want to have all these, whatever it is, not a problem. Then go to karma kanda. Why do you here? Go pray to the god to bless and have all these things, because I still want to hold on to those things. And those things are, again, perfectly fine. The thing is, they're not inhibiting my growth, but they're not helping my growth, you can say like this. So kama, according to dharma, for an aspirant, slowly has to be reduced over time like this. That's and this is actually the whole schema that's given of the four ashramas, the four stages in life, really are for this. First, you study well to know how, you know, find your place in the world, how to make a living, how to deal with, how to understand things. Then afterwards, now living the life. So at first, there will be, you know, yes, I'm working and I'm going to enjoy things. And then slowly, slowly, grow up, understand it, and then slowly, you know, lessen the desires that I have. Because what happens is, and then vanaprastha, once mature enough, then okay, then I don't have to leave everything, but I minimize, live much simpler, and just focus something higher, not just in this. Because the problem with the kamya karma, with the desire, is it is endless. I have the newest phone, it's very nice. What'll happen next year when the newer one comes out? Right? Never ends. There's one Nepali couple. They used to come for our satsang when we were in Berkeley. For many years they were coming. Very nice, very, very nice family. So they have four children. Four. They're all, of course, they're all grown up. They're a little younger, a little older than me. So two of the boys, the oldest never got married. That's quite, but he's much older than this. He's a doctor. Youngest one also, he's an engineer. He never got married like this. And at the time, he must have been in his early 30s, mid-30s, something like this. And there's some guru. And so the mother, she told the guru, she said, please talk to my son, ask him to get married. And they have grandchildren from two of the kids already. So this guru said, so mother, how many grandchildren do you need? So this is the thing, how much do I already need? How much will I get that'll totally fulfill me in this world? Endless. So kamya karma is getting caught up that I want to get more. And it's never, when it's enough for a short time, and then what? This is what happens. So where does it end? So this is why the kamya karma also is something that slowly has to be reduced out of understanding, of course. Some, you know, certain desires are dropped, but the problem is then I pick up other ones too. And of course, other ones might be righteous ones, there's nothing, you know, but then even the righteous ones I should do out of, I should be careful that I'm doing out of duty and not out of desire. Like somebody years ago used to be in charge of our center in San Francisco, the Shivananda Center. He was very much was getting active in this Occupy movement, right? The 99%, this idea, which is a very nice idea, but he was saying he was having a problem because it's very hard to be, as he called, being an activist without being sucked into it as desire. You know, desire, then you think the other one, you think negatively about the other ones, and your idea, your way is the positive, why is it not like this? So your anger builds up from it because things aren't how they should be, etc. So, but it's endless, endless. So the world is a very good, gives us many good opportunities to do some good, to be of service, but then if I get attached to it, just pulls me down with it. This is what happens. Then the lotus will get pulled down with all the other stuff into the mud, like this. So this is why this kamya karma then is a trap. And then one has to, again, as we said, through understanding, slowly reducing it, slowly. Because here he's saying, in this way, preparation says you drop all of them. You're just doing what's needed, not according to this. That's why people who act in the, you know, who act according to this are very much revered. If you take Lord Rama, that's what he's showing all the time. He's just doing what's needed, right? Dharma, not according to his own wish or desire like this. And then if you take more modern times, you take people that have done this that are revered. You take, of course, Mahatma Gandhi, we revere because of this. Or other people that took something beyond their own desire, something much higher. Nelson Mandela, you take Martin Luther King, people that take something higher than just, you know, it's not their desire, but they're doing because it's something greater than themselves. So it's because we see, because that is going beyond, going beyond this gravity that's holding us, this kamya karma holding us. So this again then is what is also has to be then slowly, you know, grown out of, you can say. Because here it's saying only this karma against only then the nimitta karma, the necessary things, and upasana. And then, of course, it's not even talking jnana study, because that's not considered same as a karma. Because if you remember, jnana and karma are totally diametrically opposite. What happens is we have, other than this false, we have the one false idea that I have to do an action in order to get somewhere and find my happiness. Because again, there's always the feeling I need to get somewhere and then I'll be okay, then I'll be happy. This is this one issue that I have. A subtler issue later in the spiritual world like this will be, okay, I need to understand and then do something according to that. So for dharma that works, upasana that works, yes. For jnana that doesn't work. Jnana is a totally separate entity, it's a different thing. Because jnana, I don't have to do something afterwards. You know, whatever I'll do, but it's not, maybe because when I understand something differently, naturally I'll act differently. That's something else. You know, you have a friend you're talking to in this, and later you find, you just met, you become friendly, this talking, later you find there's some very important person, so your attitude maybe changes, like Arjuna Krishna in the Gita, like this. But the jnana itself, that's for this, from jnana yoga, it's just jnana, it's not jnana and karma. I have to know and I have to do something about it. It's just an understanding. I understand. Once you understand the snake is a rope, do you need to do anything about it? Nothing to do, just an understanding. You have the dream, you think you're all caught up in things. Once you understand it's a dream, do you need to do something about the problem there? There's nothing left to do about it. So here it says no. It's the understanding. Jnana is just understanding. So that's the second misnomer we have, is that the karma, jnana always is followed by an action. But in this case, the jnana doesn't have to be followed by an action. Jnana is all that's needed by itself, like this. Karma kanda doesn't agree with this. Karma kanda actually, according to their analysis of the Upanishads, every action has to be, is only if it's useful for something. Every jnana, every knowledge, only if it's useful for some activity, otherwise it's, and so that's why they try to take also Ishavasya and have it part of a ritual that there's a reason for. And in Shankara's Bhashya, he really explains it doesn't work. And because if, in order for it to be part of the action, there are certain vidhis, certain rules in the Vedas that say, okay, either it's prescribed to be part of a certain karma, or because the context fits in certain things like this, but there's nothing for. There's just the one isha in through everything. There's nothing to do. It doesn't fit in with any other, with a ritual or something, because it's an understanding. So in this way, that's just a second misnomer. So in any case, what happens also here, in order to drive in the idea that it's not as a kamya, that it's not kamya karma that I want to get something, doing in order to try to get something, to obtain something, then he's saying kurvan, doing, present tense. This we haven't learned, present participle. We'll learn sometime soon in the Sanskrit. So doing present. What happens is the pala, the fruit of the action, the result, it's not present. Okay, we do have present. All the palam, we have palam from past things in the present, but we're not totally content with them. We want other ones. And there's a reason why karma palam is called palam, not just result. You know, result is something. I do something, I have a result. I got some certificate, you know. Here I don't hear of it as much. It's more of from a lot of people in India. I was fourth in the class or second in the class. Here, they don't say as much, but it's interesting. So I got the plaque. I was second in the district, so they keep the plaque. Result. Now the result I can hold on to and keep there. But pala, fruit, the reason it's called palam, fruit, because the fruit, we picked figs from the tree, right? We have a fig tree. This year gave so many fruits. So Jyoti, my wife, made jam out of it. I gave her, you know, lockdown, we're at home and she's cooking a lot of things. So I gave her a challenge. She's never done that. So she's made already 3 different kinds of jam like this. There were a whole batch more. Okay, I just kept them in the fridge. They start fermenting after a week or so. I didn't know that if they're in the fridge. So then you can eat them, but it doesn't, you know, so they got wasted. So that's why pala, because the fruit will start, the moment you pick it, starts to deteriorate. And before you know it, it deteriorates, right? Only good for our worms in the compost bin now. They're happy. They get to eat it. But in any case, so any result will be short-lived. When Nachiketas in the Katopanishad that we studied last year, a year before, there, when Lord Yama is trying to tempt him as a test, right? What to, you know, all the different things he has. So even live as long as you want, rule over the world for thousands of years. So he says, okay. The moment those are over, thousands of years of having everything, it'll feel like it was just a moment. Then what? Because the karma, no matter how long that karma, you become Brahmaji, become creator, you know, behind this whole thing. Hundreds, thousands of these universes you'll do. When it's the last creation you're in charge of, it'll feel like, oh, wow, this went by fast, you know, like this. So in any case, so the result, the pala, well, if I'm after that, first of all, I'm always looking to the future for it. If I'm just content now with what's here, I'm content. If it's because of something, that'll go away pretty soon. But just if content, then no problem, then there's not a problem. But contentment because of something, yes, that's slipping away quickly. But then usually action because I'm looking for the result, I'm in the future, I can't be really present, so I'm split. And future is just, you know, as we say, idea in the mind. So then, kurvan meaning present, do the action needed now present, right now being dynamically active with it. Then I'm free because right now I'm doing, I'm with the action, just with the action, that's it. What's needed? Then no problem. Otherwise, future, there's worry. Will it come, will it not, right? Expectation, anxiety, like this. Where does it, you know, and then where does it end? Never ending. So that's one reason, kurvan, right now, here and now, doing right here, now. Because then it brings you to be more present. Then when I'm more present, then I can start analyzing easier. Otherwise, endless. It helps to thin out, you know, like churning or like sanding something, you know, slowly chipping away at it, sand down. So I'm less scattered. If I can be more present like this, then slowly easier to look through what's behind. If I'm really present, where's the action? But this dynamically bringing myself to be more present like this. And that's another reason why the kamya karma doesn't work with this, because kamya karma will be always with the focus to the result, to the future. Like this. So for some things it's maybe easier, but some things what I feel closer to, more important to me, you know, how children are doing in school, very good example, raising the children, you know, whatever other service, for things like this, much harder to do it just out of dharma. But then we've trained, you know, that's why we're given so many chances, some, you know, day in, day out, so many chances for us to learn and to practice like this. So in this way, kurvan, right here now I do like this. And then it becomes, so in this way, to take the life, the activities I have to do and everything as using it then for purification, like this. Slowly for purification, then it'd be easier for me to naturally grown to jnana yoga if I do it in this way. This is what it's helping to do like this. Because the if one isn't prepared for Vedanta, it's lack of the chitta shuddhi. The mind hasn't been totally prepared. you know, aligned enough or cleansed enough. So meaning it doesn't have the sadhana chatushtayam ingrained enough. And this is then helping to do that. It is the, in this way, really helps to prepare in this way for it. And then what happens is jijivishet, desirous to live. So in the comment, what the commentator says about it, Adi Guru Shankara and the other teachers, they say, it's not desirous to live doing the karmas like this. So being to desire to be fully engaged as long as I'm living in dharma, in actions like this, in actions for purification's sake, for duty's sake, not for result, not for enjoyment in this. And again, one other thing about the enjoyment then, to want to be a karta, in order to be bhokta, I do actions, I'm an actor in order to get certain result, to a certain enjoyment. That has to bring me to the away, by nature brings me away from Atma, from identification as conscious being. If you remember the problem we discussed, that I take the what is purna, which is whole, unlimited, as something limited. To have desire means I identify with something limited, I need something to fulfill me. I'm not full. So that's how the Kamya Karma is helping to enforce this in this way. So again, it's not pretending, okay, I have no desire, I'm done with, no. But it's a this again, okay, this is what if I'm not as a preparation before, in order to help as a preparation to strive to see there's just the one, let me strive to do actions more and more like this so that it will, so then I can do my actions in the way that go in line with that, can prepare like this. So again, it's not as a pretending, okay, I'm practicing it, you know. The Sanskrit, some of you studying in, okay, we don't totally understand. We don't remember Ramaha, Rama, Rama, how we get confused. What is Ramena? Where does it fit in this? But we practice slowly, we get better at it. Like, it's the same thing. It's not that I pretend, okay, now I'm perfect at it. Look, like this. It doesn't work like this. But then I have to, you know, somebody enrolls in something, you know, like Saraswati's son is trying to enroll in medical school, going to medical school, because wants to be a doctor, has to go through the whole process to become, not, okay, I'm a doctor, I know everything, no, like this. And nowadays, the modern doctors, I don't know if it's all doctors, just our doctor that we go to, younger doctor in Kaiser, for us younger, you know, probably some of the age of some of you guys in this. Very interesting. Doctors used to always just say, okay, here's a prescription, this medicine. Very different attitude. Well, you could take this one if you feel you really need want in this, because he knows, like, for instance, that we don't like to take too many medications in this. Or we say, you know, we use this Ayurvedic thing or this. He looks at, they have some database, the doctors in Kaiser. Well, there are some studies that suggest that it could be good for this type of thing. Very, very different open mind than just do this and that's it. But in any case, that's a bit of an aside. So in this way, yes, so doesn't mean, that's why it points out now I have something to strive for, like this. And so jijivishet, so desire to make the focus of my life this. And another reason why this one is one notch lower, this isn't the highest vision, is in the highest vision of chakten or renouncing, jijivishet is still desire to live. How can somebody who's really renounced, seeing everything as Isha, how can that one want to be desirous to live? Whose life is this, right? Yeah, Kasya Svidhanam, whose is all this? This life also isn't mine. This life is the universal life, the Ishvara's life. How can I want to? I can't want to get rid of it. That's as long as the Ishvara wants, it's going to be. Like the wave that surrendered is not going to say, I'm going to strive to stay around a little longer. It'll say, as long as the ocean is pushing me, great. When it says it has to go, then okay, it'll go. That's because of the ocean's pushing. It's the ocean's deal, not mine. So somebody who's really let go of this life is the universal life. You know, what am I? Who am I to tell it to be here or not? So in this way, but here, there is desire for living good. So if the desire for living, use it for something that will help to grow in this direction. That's what the Shruti is saying. This is be a better use of my time as a spiritual aspirant like this, in this way. Like my Vedanta teacher, Vijayji, he told us one recent class, he was saying, in the 70s, he went to study with Swami Dayananji, something very exceptional. What happened is, he already was married, had a child, and he had studied some of the time with Swami Chinmayananji when he was coming. And then one year Swami Chinmayananji couldn't come, so Swami Dayananji came instead, and then a lot of people started following him. And Swami Dayananji was going to give the first time a three-year Vedanta course here. And Vijayji had agreed, promised his family, promised his work, go to the ashram, study, and come back. So he, with his wife and child, went to the ashram, stayed 3 years or 2.5 years there, studied everything. Then afterwards went back to work and everything like this. Very interesting. But in any case, so after finishing the course, he came home. And he used to like to play tennis a lot. Okay, so now I can go back in this. Then he said, he thought, okay, now I have my life, I have my duties. You know, as you know, with the raising family, your time is very filled with so many duties. Well, he could continue doing that, but then how much time and effort he'll put into that, where that little bit of time, you know, a few hours a week, whatever time you can have with all the other busy things, if that time is used for something that'll be more useful for the study, for study Vedanta or something, how much more useful it'll be. So he gave it up. Okay. Chaitanya gave up the tennis like this. So what happens then is another thing, the kamya karmas, they take a lot of my time that I'm, you know, we're all busy. And so then if, let's say 5 hours a week, you know, just throwing a number, taken for my hobbies, what I like to do, this. If just half of it is dropped and I use for something like this, what a difference it is, like this. So, Chaitanya, it is a sacrifice to do it. But then it's, you know, if it's, I get something different from it, like this. So this is other point about. So, jiji vishet, one then is desires to live for this. They have focused like this. A lot of organizations or mission, Chinmay mission, my Gurudev was also like had a mission to bring yoga to the West. His guru said, go to the West in the 50s, go to the West, people are waiting. His mission just came here, spread it all around till his body dropped, just kept going. So in this way, having a focused mission like this helps to push you towards it. So you, having desires to live for that mission, something higher, and that's it, not for just what I, you know, what I want in this, what I prefer, like this. So this is in this way. And then it says, if you want the karmas not to bind you, not to get caught up in it, then there's no other way, right? Just like it says, nan yaf panta vidyate anaya. There's no other path, no other known path. It says like this in the Purusha Suktam. Here, same thing. No, there's no other way for this. Try to find another way, great, do it. But unlikely that we find another way to do it. One thing I'm curious about is the Buddha. The Buddha studied these types of things for sure, because he grew up, you know, Nepal, India area, all Hindu things. He did study Vedic things first before, he experienced and taught. So one of the things he talks about, right living, right action, like there are eightfold paths, something they, I don't know their whole path. This is probably where it came from, this same idea. Okay, that's again, I surmise, I guess it's like this. Yes, you need to, if you don't live it, you know, if my life isn't something that's taking that direction, how is it going to go hand in hand? So one has to, over time, you know, look at oneself and see, okay, how is my life going? Not in the external things, because external things will come. Change will come and go, even that we can't help. But in how I'm acting, why I'm doing things, how I'm doing things, how is it helping me progress with this? A good preparation? And what things are, you know, how am I acting that is really not helping, that is counter to this? And then slowly one has to slowly learn from this, like this. So in this way, this is what is being discussed here. Let's see if any other important points are today. Then we can conclude for today. Interesting thing, when I was getting ready for the class, I have different notes and things. I have some notes I took from Swami Tatvidananji's talk on this that I have, and I saw. I have 3 pages notes I took, and I studied. I said, anything else I'm taking, you cover completely A to Z. It's so nice. Nothing left really not in there to really say like this. Here's one last point, one other interesting thing. Here it's using the term for person as Naraha, right? Not Manushya or something else. Naraha Nariyate Iti, one who isn't mortal, doesn't pass away, the immortal one. So interesting, here it's using Naraha in this one, meaning in order to become Naraha, in order to, if you want to, you know, own up to that, act like this. If you want to be an individual, right? Manushya, an individual being, good. Continue, you know. Nothing wrong with. It's not saying there's anything wrong with. We can do everything, you know. I do things without disturbing others within my means, and I can enjoy this. Nothing wrong with it. Perfectly fine. I'll stay Manushya. I'll stay within the Manomaya Kosha, right? Within the mind. That's fine. No problem. But then if I want to be Naraha, I want to, you know, be, live up to Atma, own up to Atma, then I need to, this is the way I need to follow, like this. So this is a nice point you brought up, because the language it's used is also very specific. It's not, you know, we're limited in our knowledge of the language, but the more somebody knows the language, for sure they see why certain terms are used compared to others when explaining these things. So let's conclude for today. We'll finish this verse next time. Om. Om. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.